auditorium. If you're watching us online, we're inviting you to do the same thing. Now, I don't know if this is your first time in iChurch, or maybe this is what you call home, but whatever it is, let me set something straight from the beginning. There's two things we're very clear, and it's that our only Lord and Savior could be Jesus Christ. And the second thing we're clear is that we're going to honor the Holy Spirit in everything we do. And we're going to invite Him into our lives. So with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I want to go into a time of prayer and of intercession right now. I want to intercede over you. If you're here for the first time, or maybe you haven't been here in a while, listen up, my friend. It's not a coincidence and it's not a casual thing, the fact that you're here. You're here because before you even woke up this morning, God already had a plan for you to be here. He knew your heart. He knows what you need. And He's been setting this up for a while now. Now, I'm not just saying words. I feel in the Spirit of God right now that there's somebody in this room who needs a breakthrough and needs God to touch their life, has been walking through a desert and is ready for God to come through like a mighty wind and put everything in perspective. Somebody's been hungry for more of God for quite a while right now. And I'm telling you that you didn't make it here out of a coincidence. You made it here because before you even imagined it, God knew your need and opened up a church that will be able to minister to you, where the power of the Holy Ghost would just come down and free you from all bondage and all setbacks. You've been held back too long. And God's about to change that. I believe in the power of healing. I believe God restores lives. I believe God does things with marriages. I believe God could transform. I believe God opens up doors that are closed. And if you're going to believe that with me, then we're going to believe through for a breakthrough. That's right. You don't need a sermon to get there. All you need is to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and a God who's alive and still doing miracles in the lives of people around us right now. So I'm going to invite you to open up your heart for that. And that's something that doesn't require you to be part of a church. It doesn't require you to be baptized or be a member. It just requires you to be humble and say, God, I need you. If this is what you call home, be careful you don't become numb to the move of the Holy Spirit. Open up your heart right where you are and let God get ready to speak and minister over you. 1 John 3:20, with your eyes, listen, 1 John 3:20, with your eyes closed, listen to what it says. It's very clear. He says, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater, that God is greater, that God is greater, that God is greater. The Bible says that God is greater than our hearts and that everything we know. It doesn't matter what your heart is questioning this morning, God is greater. And you need to hear that. God is greater. God is greater. And this year, you've been setting yourself up for something greater, and God is greater. He's going to help you. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I'm going to pray now. If you need an intercession over your life, whatever it is, maybe it may be physical healing over your life, it may be emotional healing. I can't do it for you, but I know somebody who can. I don't decide when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, but I do believe it will happen in due season. So all I need you to do is come in agreement with me over your life. And if there's something that you need prayer of, maybe it's your son who's far from God. Maybe it's a desert that you've been going through spiritually. That keeps on coming to my mind. Somebody here is a strong believer that's been going through a desert, and you're needing a breakthrough. You're saying, man, I have this thirst inside of me, and I know it's just there. I'm going to pray over you, and it's going to come over your life right now in this prayer. If it's a physical healing that you're praying for, somebody you know who may be going through a striving time, maybe something you need to do today or tomorrow, this week, that's going to be tough on you. Listen, I'm going to pray right now that God strengthens you. I'm going to come in agreement with my mom or that dad. I'm going to come in agreement with you that right now in your life, you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, and He's able to give you the strength you need. Holy Spirit, come down right now. I'm going to believe God with you. And if God's speaking to you and you want to come in agreement with me, it doesn't matter if you're visiting, if you're like, I'm going to believe for my miracle right now. Listen, I can't handle your miracle, but God could do it. And all you need to do is come in agreement that God can do it. So if that's you, just raise your hand right there where you are. Just raise it up in the sky. Doesn't matter if you're at home watching. It doesn't matter if you're in the graded seating, if you're in the extra chairs we had to lay out. Doesn't matter. Just raise your hand right there and come in agreement with me. Believe for that revival spiritually over your life. Believe for what God's going to do. I want your faith to be activated. I want your faith to be activated. Listen, it's not a Sunday school God that I'm trying to teach this morning. It goes beyond that. It's a great God. greater than you could ever imagine. If you're a believer, and you, listen, if you're part of iChurch and you're like, Pastor, right now I want God to just speak into my life. I want him to break that barrier. Raise your hand up. Come on, just be humble. Come in agreement. If you're at home right now, just throw your hands up in the air. It doesn't matter who's next to you. It doesn't matter who's watching. It doesn't matter if you're at the beach or you're in the mountains. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're at home sick right now, we're going to pray healing over you right now. And it's about to occur. And I want you to believe it. I want you to believe in the power of a great God. I know society doesn't believe that anymore, but we do in this room. We believe in a God who does miracles. We believe in a God that restores. A God that opens up doors that are closed. A door that blesses. And somebody right now is coming in agree with me. I could feel it in the power of the Ghost. I could feel it in the power of the Holy Ghost right now moving in this room. I could feel Jesus walking in this room and touching lives right now. I believe sickness is coming out in the name of Jesus. I believe bondage is being broken. I believe a door in heaven is being opened and blessings being poured upon somebody right now as we speak. And it's a God thing. We're calling on the same God, the God of Abraham, the God that divided the sea, the God that sent manna from heaven, the God that raised the paralytic. I don't know if you believe this, but that God is still alive and well. He's still doing miracles. And we believe him over your life. Father Almighty God, I believe in your power and what you're able to do. And we come in agreement that this prayer right now, it activates the faith. Through faith, something happens in somebody's life. I am a witness of your miracles and my witness of a faithful God that never fails. So I could do nothing else except believe you, Holy Ghost, believe you, Holy Spirit, to move right now in this room. You do the work that I can, and I trust you because you're my best friend. Move, move. Blow on dry bones. North, south, east, west, come and do your work, Lord, because we believe you. We believe you. Father, give us wisdom to be able to speak your word and learn it and grow in it, Father, because we need more of you, God. We need more of you. There's the moment where you pray and say, God, speak to me through the word of God. There's the moment where you pray. If you're visiting, you're like, well, I'm not used to church, Pastor. Listen, it's really simple. Just say, God, if you're going to speak to me, use this man and speak to me. Use your word. Let me see it in your Bible, and I'll open up my heart. I'm going to invite the whole congregation to say out loud with me, repeating this prayer. My heart is open. Speak to my life. I believe in your power, God, and in your word. So speak over us, because I am ready. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys ready for the word of God this morning? Come on. You believe God did the work? I believe God did the work. Amen. You may be seated, church. Amen. A good Sunday morning to be here. I'm glad to see you. We're going to go right into the Bible. But before we do, I have a question I want to ask. Have you ever been in a relationship that you wanted to make deeper? I want you to think about that. Have you ever been in a relationship that you wanted to make deeper? Now, it doesn't mean that you really wanted to blow it out of the proportion, because I believe everybody in this room at one point or another, we've been in a relationship that we wanted to grow in. We wanted to kind of like break a barrier and make it better. We've tried that. But for some reason, everybody was polite, everybody was nice about it, but it didn't click, it didn't work. Now, just think about it for a second, all right? It may have been maybe in school, right? I remember one relationship that I wanted for it to go. I was in high school, and I remember this girl I liked, and it isn't my current wife, but I could say that because she's not here right now. She's at home, but I know she's watching online, thinking right now, but I'm watching online, all right? But that relationship you wanted to create, Sheldon, you remember that girl you really liked that wasn't Elizabeth? No, okay. Okay, he's saying no because his wife's next to him. We get him. Smart man. But it's that relationship. Did you ever send a love letter out and the person wouldn't answer it back? Now, we forget about those days, but it was a love letter you sent out and the person didn't respond back, right? In my days, right, it wasn't like now. Now you just text everything or you TikTok it or you whatever it, right, whatever it is. In my days, it was a letter and you would write, you put a little box and say, tell me if you say yes or no. And they would check the box and send it back. And it would go like through four people between you and the person, right? So everybody would find out what's going on, right? But there's these things and there's relationships. Sometimes you want to, sometimes it's not just that. Sometimes maybe it was, you know, it was a rejection. And the person may have been polite about it, right? The person may have been good to you. The person may have been very nasty to you because it goes both ways. But we want a deeper relationship. It just doesn't click, right? Now sometimes it's not just that the person rejects you, but sometimes you're trying, like it could be at work. There could be people at work and don't say amen just in case somebody knows them, right, and you get in trouble at work. But it may be somebody at work that you're just, it's not like you're trying to date them. You're just trying to, it could be male-to-male relationship, and you're just trying to break the bondage, right, and you go, hey, how you doing? Like, I'm doing all right. How you doing? And you're like, man, what's like, you can't get it. And it's not that you want to be best buddies. It's not that you want to take vacations together. It's not that you want to hang out there. You just want to, you know, like, come on, man. We got to do 8 hours together anyway, man. Can't we just like, you know, and you're trying. And there may be four or five people in the business or in the relationship or in the office or wherever you are. And there's four of them that you guys get along with. There's this one person just like, why can't we just come over, right? You just can't get over it, right? And maybe that there, and you're still polite to each other, but you can't get that to click. Now, it happens everywhere. Like, for example, you could go to a son with a parent with a kid. The parent says, I really want to, I want to bond, you know? And then parents do this to themselves a lot, and you know what I'm talking about. Parents look at other kids and look at other parents, right? And they look at their relationship. I remember my daughter once came home and said, she went over the Snail Grove's house. That's Linda and Rob, right? And she came over and they hang out with Hannah, their daughter, and my daughter came home and said, oh man, Hannah and Linda and Rob, those parents are so cool. That was the day I stopped liking you, Rob. No, I'm just kidding. I love Rob. But it was like, you know, he was like, those were the cool parents. So when your children say those are the cool parents, what comes to your mind? Am I not cool? Like, come on, look at me. I'm the coolest guy there is, man. It doesn't get better. No, you know, and where I'm going with this is that you try to start strategizing, right, how to get a better relationship with your kids. Parents live paranoid about it, right? Thank God I have gone over that. I'm over that. I'm like, if you like me, good. If you don't, tough luck. You're missing out. That's the type of parenting skills I have. Don't follow me. We got great counselors in this room, but if you're trying to be a better parent, do not call me. All right. Like my mom, my wife said yesterday, hey, we need to take some family pictures. And every time my wife wants to take a family picture, I know it's about to be the most miserable day of our life. The grandchildren will not look at the camera. Nobody will smile. And I'm like, can't we just Photoshop it and put everybody together? It's just like, do we really have to have a picture day? And my wife yesterday turned to me and says, well, I'm thinking that tomorrow we do a picture day. And I lowered my head and I sighed and I started interceding, thinking about 3 days of prayer and fasting for that to be able to happen, because it just doesn't work. My kids are married, they're gone, getting everybody on the same schedule is miserable. But my wife's trying to keep that bond going between the family, and they're polite, they're good kids, don't get me wrong. My kids love me, I love them, it's great. And when I sighed, my wife looked at me and said, so you don't want to take a picture? I said, no, honey, I'm probably going to be the only person that shows up to the picture. Right? Because they're all gone. I'm married to you. I'm staying home. I'm a smart man. I'm going to show up and take the picture. I said, I'll be there. They're just not going to be there. It's going to make our all life miserable. You're going to be. And then here's the problem. And he says, why are you upset? I'm not upset. It's just that you're going to be mad at all our children, but none of them are going to be there. So you're going to take it out on me. Did you hear the men go, amen? The men in the room like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm not trying to bash on my wife. I'm just trying to get a point across about how all of us at one point or another, we want to strengthen our relationship. But even though you want to, there are relationships that just don't click. It just doesn't happen. And they're good people. My kids love me. I love them. But listen, life moved on. They got married. Things happen, right? We can't control that. Sometimes it's backwards. Sometimes it's a kid trying to create a relationship with a dad or a mom. Dad and mom messed up years ago, and now you're trying to create a relationship, or backwards. And marriages, it happens. You could be married, and your wife or your husband could be in this room, and you're trying to just, like, take that relationship to the next level, and it won't happen, right? It just won't happen. And it's a terrible thing when that happens. Well, here's what I'm trying to preach this whole month. And this series is very, very, very important to your life. And if and I say this with the utmost respect, if you really, really, really have ever lived that with somebody, that's how God feels with you sometimes. He wants a deeper relationship with you, but there's a barrier that's holding it back. He wants the family picture. He wants that moment, that unity. And it works through the Holy Spirit, guys. There's no other way it will work. The Holy Spirit. See, for those that are visiting, or those that are first time, or those that don't accustom to come to iChurch on a regular basis, let me explain that to you. Because when I say Holy Spirit, you may say, well, this like, is it a funky, like, mystical thing? No, no, no. Listen. Jehovah, God, the Father, walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and he was there, and Adam and Eve rejected him. They hid. They ran to sin. Jesus Christ came down. God, Father says, which is the same. He says, I'm going to send my son to the earth so you could receive him. And we ended up crucifying him. Jesus says, I'm leaving, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And that relationship with the Holy Spirit is what's going to make us, and it's going to give us an in-depth relationship with God. And it's going to be the only thing that could give us that type of relationship with God. And in fact, I'm jumping for production, but I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 for a minute. I'm going to put this on screen, and I'm going to go to illustration. I'm going to have various illustrations today. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And when I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, I want you to see why that relationship with the Spirit is so important. It says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard. In other words, you haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. And what no human mind has conceived, something that you can't even fathom, the things God has prepared. Look at that. The things God has prepared things for you. For those who love him, if you love God, God has something prepared for you. He has blessings for your marriage. He has blessings for your relationship with your kids. He has a blessing for you financially. He wants to bless you in ministry. He has things prepared for you. But look at verse 10. These are the things God has revealed to us. Everybody read this with me. 1, 2, 3. By his Spirit. So the things that God has for me as a father, as a husband, for my wife, for the things God has prepared for me are revealed to me by the Spirit. So if I want to be a good husband, the things God has prepared for me, the equipment that he has for me, he's going to reveal it to me by the Spirit. That's why we can't reject it. That's why we can't turn it away. The Bible says, right, it continues to say, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, the deep thing. There are deep things of God that we miss because we're not in heaven yet. Our sinful nature doesn't allow it. But the Bible says the Spirit searches them. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit? Who knows what you're thinking? Right now you could be there thinking something about me. You could be thinking about lunch. And I don't know that, but your spirit knows it. The Bible says in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God. No one in this room, nobody online. I'm not being offensive. I'm not judging your spiritual life because I include myself in that. No one knows the thoughts of God. But watch this. Except the, and the last three words, everybody. Except what? Spirit of God. So it's almost like we get to tap into God's will, God's knowledge, God's equipment, what God has prepared, but we could only do it through the Spirit. And this whole series, what I'm trying to teach is an element that I hope you can take from your head to your heart. Because if you could take it from your head to your heart, if I could get you to understand that unity with the Holy Spirit is not a phrase, unity with the Holy Spirit is not something you would say, well, I have it. No, it's because you could walk, if you didn't hear last week's sermon, you could watch it online later and you could go back there. But if you were there, you're caught up. If you're not, don't worry. I'm going to put you up today as much as I can. What I'm saying is that unity with the Holy Spirit is kind of I called it a dimension. You could call it a place. What I'm saying is that I could walk with somebody every day but not be united with them. And what I'm saying is when you go to this place, right, or this season or this experience or this dimension, whatever you want to call it, when you go into this place called unity of the Spirit, where my spirit and God's spirit connects. And if you're saying, well, Pastor, doctrinally, I believe that occurs when I convert to Jesus Christ. He seals me with the Holy Spirit. Yes, but just because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Two different things, all right? I could have him, and listen, he could be in me, but I could contrite him. I could sadden him. So, Pastor, you're talking about a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yes, but there's an experience. called unity with the Holy Spirit, and it's all over Scripture. And I was teaching that last week, so if you didn't watch it, you got to go back and watch that next week. But today, I want to show something that I showed last week, and I want to try to get it to you. And I'm a very simple preacher. I try to keep the message as simple as possible. And so I'm going to go really, really fast, but I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible. And I want everybody to walk out of a sermon when I preach. And my biggest desire is that the Holy Spirit gives them a moment where they're like, oh, man. And then you remember it and it stays in your mind. So sometimes I use crazy illustrations or I use different ideas. I do it not because I'm trying to water down what Scripture says. Believe me, we're going to go really deep into Scripture. Actually, very, very deep. But what I do is I try to simplify it for my benefit and for your benefit. I'm going to pick up right where I left off last week. But what I'm trying to teach today is how do you create that moment of unity with the Spirit? Pastor Carlos, do you have it? Yes. Pastor Carlos, do you always have it? No. Pastor Carlos, do you make an effort to find it? Yes. Pastor Carlos, how do you create those moments when your spirit and God's spirit, the spirit of God in me and my spirit connect that I just feel? And I'm sure the majority of you have had moments like that. It could have been in the car. It could have been in prayer. You had moments. What do you do to get there? That's what I want to teach this week. And I want to teach the second thing I do personally next week. I won't be able to finish it in one Sunday. So let me teach you the first thing that I do. Now, to do that, I'm going to pick up the sermon right where I left it off last week. And last week, I brought out a rope, right? And here's my rope guy last week, right? And last week, my rope guy was very, 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 very effective and slow, right? Now, all justice, what I did was I illustrated how we're connected to people, right? And I'm going to take Sarah, my daughter. I'm going to ask my daughter Sarah to come up here because she's recently married, right? And this is the perfect example. Like, if you ask her, is marriage difficult? Her answer is, nah, it's easy. So I want you to stand right in the middle here. Now, I'm going to give you a heads up. When we do this, you're grabbing one end of this. And this is where I ended last Sunday, right? Last Sunday I ended here. So if you weren't here, don't worry because we're catching you up. She's holding on to this. And get ready because you're going to feel how much. People have no idea how it feels, all right? And just embrace for it. And it shows how he's connected, how she's connected to a lot of people. Now, before you move, wait. I know you want to go fast today. You want to prove me wrong. But chill out. Relax, bro. Relax. I still got enough time. Oh, my God. He's like ready. He's like, I'm going to go fast today. Well, don't knock her off the stage, all right? All right, to prove your point. So where I'm going is we are connected to a bunch of people around us, and every connection that you have pulls from you. It consumes from you. Even when you think it doesn't, it consumes from you, good and bad. But you need to keep in your mind how that works, because she's married to Nathaniel. Now, Nathaniel, I want you to stand over here, all right? Now, this is her husband. And now I'm using this because unity with the Spirit is illustrated in Scripture with our unity with our husband or wife. It's very illustrative there, and you'll find it. Want to know more about that? You got to go last week's sermon, but catch up. Now, he is the husband. She is the wife. Watch, guys. He is the husband. She is the bride. Now, keep that in mind for those that know Scripture. Now, he wants to have a relationship with her. Do you not? Yes, thank you. Smart man. You're learning. He wants to be with her. Like, for example, tomorrow when the Steelers game is on, you think he wants to watch the Steelers game? With her. Smart man. Right? No, honestly, she knew nothing about football. As soon as she started dating him, she knows about football now. Why? Because if he wants a relationship with her, either she learns about him or he learns about her. It's a two-way street. Same thing with God. Now, keep that in mind. And as you keep it in mind, Chino's about to connect Sarah with a whole... You find people you think Sarah connects to, okay? And when you find people you think Sarah connects to, you keep on handing them that, all right? And then jump to another and then bring it to her because of their connection. For example, I'll give you the first example. Don't move yet, okay? Sarah is connected to Daniela because Daniela is her sister, right? Now stop. Wait. He's connected to Daniela. Daniela, raise your hand over there in the corner because people don't see you, and I know people aren't camera. Just stand for a second. There you go. That's Daniela. That's my other daughter. They're connected because they're sisters, right? Now, Daniela, right, she's starting to have a friendship. I guess I got to call it dating with Jack, right? Now, Jack is right next to her. Now, you could say Sarah has no relationship with Jack. No, but the problem is this. The problem is when you go to Daniela, now you can go to Daniela, all right? When you go to Daniela, all right? Now, watch this. She's connected to Daniela, but Daniela is connected to Jack. Now, pull that rope a little more. I need that rope to always be, I always need to be like that, right there, right? Now stop for a second. Okay, now you would say, well, wait a minute. Sarah doesn't have a connection with Jack, right? What if she never sees Jack? It doesn't matter because Jack affects Daniela. And if she affects Daniela, Daniela affects Sarah. You guys following me? Okay, now jump over to Jessica because Jessica does have a direct connection with Sarah. Now, stop for a second. Now, because I knew he was going to take some time, I thought, okay, how do I illustrate the sermon not just this way, but I also illustrate it another way of how God feels, right? And when I recapped my whole sermon, I found something that I thought was pretty cool. I think in 1965, in February, the Supremes kind of caught a drift of the way God speaks in unity with him and how he wants a relationship with us. You say, Pastor, the who? The Supremes. If you have no idea who the Supremes are, look it up on YouTube later. Or better yet, let's just give some, watch the lyrics on this. Watch the lyrics carefully as if God were speaking to you on this. And this is just some instrumental music. This is just some music, not instrumental, some music playing. Well, Chino, you could take your time today because I got you covered. Go ahead. Play the Supremes while Chino does this because this is my sermon. Okay, pause it for a second right there, Val. Just pause it, okay? You're not done yet, bro. We even put a freaking song on for you, man. I'm just kidding. Pastor, as he continues, and I have to stop here for a second because of time, did you hear that song? Because that song is exactly what I'm trying to teach you today. So if you leave here and the only thing you remember is, stop! What a carnal church. Can y'all sing the first worship song we sang today? No, again, I don't know that one, Pastor. I just don't remember that. No. If you're visiting, you're like, what's wrong with these people? Listen, we should learn to have fun in church, all right, guys? Because God brings joy into our life, man. So just chill out about it for a second. Okay, now watch. Stop in the name. If you notice, I don't know if you guys have been noticing on Sarah, but she already changed her foot position. Can you feel the tug on it? It's crazy. You wouldn't imagine how much pressure it is, but the more people you're connected to, the more pressure you have in your life. Now watch me. Okay, now we're all caught up. All right, you don't want to miss next Sunday's sermon when I give you the second thing. We're just going to stop right there, Gino, okay? Right there. Okay, Pastor, what are you trying to teach here? What I'm trying to teach is that the only way for you, now watch this. The husband wants a relationship with the bride. But for him to have a relationship with her, it doesn't matter how much he wants to be with her, there's connections all around that will hinder him coming to her. So if he needed to access to her, she's living with all this pressure and she's so preoccupied with everybody that it steals away her time with him. Now, let's just say for a second, I want you to hold that up. Let's just say you're God, right? Let's just say you're not, but just say he's God. And God manifested himself to man as Jesus, and God manifested him to man as Holy Spirit, right? Because it's still God, right? But God shows up to us, to mankind, Adam and Eve, right, as Father Jehovah, but he shows up to us as Jesus and as Holy Spirit. So let's just say that's the husband, right? And he's in heaven, and he wants a relationship with us, the bride, here on earth. Read to those that want to take homework, read Revelations chapter 21 and verse 22. In Revelations 21 and 22, you'll see that the bride is crying out, calling out, saying, come, come now, we need you. She's desiring, she has this ultimate desire to be with God. That's what the Bible says. It's a prophetic word of what's going to occur, that things will come to a point that we're going to be like, God, come now, come now. You know, we don't talk a lot about the return of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why I think that is. Because most of us are not ready for him to return. And their second reason is because we're too busy here to think that that's better. If you knew that was better, you would wake up every morning like the prayer of our Father. You'd say, thy kingdom come. You would ask for it now. But you and I include myself in this, we find ourselves so caught up because we don't spend enough time. Now, here's what I want you to catch on this, all right? Here's what I want you to catch. Pastor, what does that have to do with the Supremes and Stop in the Name Love? Was just song? No, put the lyrics up for me for a second. Put the lyrics of that song up for me for a second. And as I put it up, I want you to see some key phrases in this that have to do, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, how God sometimes may feel and how he should think. I want you to think about this. Look, he could say, I watch you walk down the street every day when you wake up and you go to work, knowing your other love you'll meet. I know you have other things you're in love with. Leaving me alone, and look at this, think it over. Think it over. I love this one. After I've been good to you. Has God been good to anybody here? Okay, and then he says, so Pastor, what's the solution? The solution is this. Everybody, read it with me. What's the solution? Stop in the name of love. That's the solution. You stop. This one really hit me. I wasn't even going to put it there. I've known of your secluded nights. Now, Pastor Bone, that's talking about adultery. No, but wait a minute. Okay, yeah, but take it to a spiritual point. I know of the nights you're up and your mind keeps on tossing and turning. I'm ministering to you right now, and you're thinking about all these concepts that tie you on. I promise you right now, Sarah's thinking in her mind, I wish my dad would finish this illustration, right? You don't see it. Her hand completely is red right now, and you guys aren't even tugging. You guys are being kind. Now, what happens when one of you, just one of you, right? Let me take, for example, Kiara. And Kiara says, you know what? I demand more of Sarah. I need her. And she starts pulling towards Sarah. Now, here's the thing. As she pulls, Sarah's going to have to let go of somebody. And you're saying, well, Pastor, what's happening? While she's moving, move it again. While she's tugging here, it's taking a toll on her. And now watch this. The tension over there, did you guys see it? Grew larger. What are you saying? When somebody starts pulling on you, which is normal, your kids could do it in a good way, that creates tension with other people because you can't multiply time. Time is 24 hours, period. That's all it is. You could learn to administrate it correctly, but she's feeling the tug from one side, and it's going to put tension on the other side. Now, if the other side starts pushing, now I want you to hold all those ropes together, put both hands on it, and don't let any rope move. Okay, there you go. All right, just to help you, because I know the illustration has gone long. Now, if Jessica tugs on her on that side, and Daniela tugs on her, start pulling. Now, what are you feeling right now?
My arm's twisting.
Your arm's twisting. That's what happens in the spiritual, emotional, and physical realm in your life every day, guys. You don't realize it. Now, you guys are like, Pastor, this illustration has gone long. How long have you been alive? Because this is what you live every day. So, Pastor, what do I need? You need at some point to stop in the name of love. Love has got to be so powerful. If she wants a relationship with Nathaniel, right? And Nathaniel's going to come to her. Now, watch how God works. God is so awesome that he goes, and I want you to lower yourself and go and make it to the other steps, okay? This is how God lives all the time, all right? This is how God lives all the time. He went from heaven to earth, come up here, last week's illustration, I did it with my wife. He's there, give me the sign. Stretch your arms out, but don't hug her. Just stretch your arms out. This is God. Pastor, why doesn't he just embrace me? Because God will never force you to love him. He's not going to force you to spend time with him. Here's the thing. Doesn't she seem that she's all caught up and her hands are tired and full? So, Pastor, what are you trying to say? That somebody needs to say, stop in the name of love. Somebody needs to tell this child. And that person that's telling this child is trying to tell you, I hope it goes from your head to your heart. You still need to do this. You can't get away from this. But the fountain of this, for you to be able to be good to all these people, is right there. And you need to stop right there. Don't do it. Stay right there, guys. Don't move. Look at this Bible verse. I'm going to show it to you guys because there's what we don't teach in church. Look at what Psalms 46:10 says. Put Psalm 46:10 on screen for me real quick. Now, you guys stay there. I promise. I'm going to go really, really quick because the more you guys are there, the quicker I will go to finish this up. Psalms 46:10. It says, he says, God says, be still. What does God say? He says, be still and know that I am God. It's God saying, yo, I'm here. Will you stop your busy life for a second? Can you make a habit? I'm not talking about a one-hour devotion in the morning. I'm saying, can you make a habit of it and exalt me in all the nations? Exalt me. Will you stop this busy, busy life? Are you willing to let go of other things for me? Are you willing to make me more important than other things? That's what he's saying. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Look what God says. Now, this is what we never teach in church, but it's there. It's in Scripture. He says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying it's a godly thing. He says, I promised you to one husband to Christ so that I might present as a pure virgin to him, so you're not so caught up with all these stuff in life. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent coming, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere, pure devotion. Your sincere, pure devotion. Your sincere, pure what? Devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit, if you receive a different what? From the spirit you receive. Look at it. Look. One spirit, two spirit, three spirit, four spirit, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Pastor, we got the point. No. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. 29 spirits are tied to her. Pastor, that's a whole lot. It's not even half of the spirits that are tied into you. And what I'm saying is that God says, I'm a jealous God. You give so much to everybody around you that you love. And God's saying, I'm not against that. So I don't want you to think God's against this. Look, right now, I got to stop the illustration because her fingers are going numb and it's really hot. But the reason I've sustained it, and I thank you, Sarah, for doing this with me, is that God's saying, stop for a second. Now, Pastor, so you're saying that we got to let go? Sometimes you do. There are some relationships you got to let go of. But sometimes it's not about letting go of these as much as it is embracing God. Now, I want you to hug your husband. Okay? Now, watch this. When you're there, did you notice how now he automatically, without saying it, he grabbed that because he cared for her? What are you saying? You can never help the people around you as much as you want. Unless you let the Spirit of God come down and help you help those people. Come on. Let's give it up for this couple. Thank you very much. Chino, you could grab all this. Yeah, grab that. You guys all let it go. You guys can all let it go. And Chino, if you can, Justin, just bring it backstage. Okay, so Pastor, what are you saying? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, which is where I stayed last week. Still there. Watch this. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in the spirit. Whoever is united with the Lord is. When you find this place of unity with God, then when you have that embracing with God, Pastor, but how do I get there? I'm telling you the first step today. I'm teaching you. Stop. Pastor, stop what? Stop everything. Look, a tree. If you have a tree and you plant it and you never watered it and there was no rain, would the tree grow? Yes or no? It wouldn't. Somebody needs to stop and water it, right? Here's another illustration. Your car. My wife drove my truck yesterday, and when she drove my truck, she came. She said, hey. I said, what? She says, my car has this thing where you step on it, and it turns off, and it turns on, and it goes into eco mode, and it goes down into less cylinders, and I'm not going to go into details. It just saves gas. Hers isn't like that. Hers is an older model. She turned to me. She says, your car saves a lot of gas. I said, yes. She says, wow. And I said, but also, I don't drive as much as you drive. Why? The more you drive, the more your fuel is consumed. Tell me how much you do in a week, and I'll tell you how much you consume the fuel inside of you. So what are you saying? When you want gas in your car, look at this. How many people here stopped at one point or another to put gas in their car in the last 3 weeks? Raise your hand. Okay, now, if I ask the same question, don't raise your hand. If I ask the same question, how often have you stopped to put spiritual gas in? And here's the problem. You say, Pastor, I do, but I just don't do so often. King David in Psalms 55 says, I pray in the morning, I pray in the midday, and I pray at night. 3 times a day. He would stop and do 1 hour to 2 hours of prayer, King David. That's why he was able to defeat Goliath. See, depending how far your car travels is how much gas you're going to need. Depending how much you do and how affected you are by relationships depends how much fullness of the Spirit you need. Same thing happens with food. Humans survive on food. You eat, and the more you eat, you consume energy. But what happens if you went on weeks and weeks without eating? I'm a Survivor fan. If you don't know what that is, that's a reality show, but I watch it. And they go a whole bunch of days without eating. And then when they do the competitions, they have no energy. There's no carbohydrates to do what they need to do. So you need to consume fuel. Now, if that's true, this is you for a second, right? This is your life now. Now your life is surrounded by all these things around you, right? This is who you are. And I'm just going to grab a couple of stuff. You have a family. So if you want to be a good parent or you want to be a good child, right? If you want to be a good student or if you want to learn and you want to grow intellectually or if you want to do ministry, right? And you say, I want to do ministry. Or you just want to be a good friend to somebody right next to you right now. Or in your marriage you want to be better. Or you want to be growing in your business or in your finances and all that. This is you. Well, I'm going to school. I'm trying this. Well, that's you, right? But the problem is that right in the middle you are thinking, how do I provide? Because all of this is connected to me. There goes the rope again, right? All is connected. Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that the only way you could do that is if you stop and you water the tree, if you stop and you put in gas, if you stop and you eat. You need to fuel it up with the power of the Holy Spirit because that's what God sent. And the fire of the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom on what to do and what not to do because it knows God's will. Okay, Pastor, we get the point. We understand what you're saying. You're saying be careful with who you tie into. You're saying to make sure that I'm united with the Holy Spirit. I get it. I'm there. I understand what you're saying. So what you're saying is that I need to be still and stop. Yes, in the name of love, stop. You know, let me try to break it down even easier for you. About a month ago, and I'm being vulnerable here, about a month ago I went through a rough patch. Being a pastor, you're like, I know some of you don't want to hear that because you want to hear about your strong, mighty pastor who never is weak. But I went through a rough patch. And it was a moment where I knew I was under attack and a lot of thoughts were coming to my head. It was mid-December and we had our Christmas event and I had to push through. And I got up and I pushed through. But it was just a rough patch. You know,
just bad thoughts kept on coming to my mind. And one of them was, I couldn't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I don't know if you've ever been there where you're like, I can't do this anymore. And it wasn't that I was mad at anybody specifically. Maybe it was just that I was tired. But for whatever reason, right after that, I caught the flu on Christmas Day. And that messed me up real bad physically. And when your physical body is hurting, and this is for anybody out there watching online in this room who's going through a physical need. When your physical body is hurting, your spirit and your soul will be affected. And Satan's going to come to attack you. So now on top of that, my physical body was hurting, and now my mind was going at it. And my mind, my soul, and my body were attacking, and I was drained. And then it hit me. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Mark chapter 14, verse 32 and 34. Luke chapter 4, verse 42. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. You want a Bible? I'll give you a Bible. John chapter 6, verse 15. Pastor, what is that? In all these biblical portions, Jesus on earth departed from man to be in unity with the Spirit. Jesus himself found a need to step away from the disciples and step away from the rush. He stopped to be alone with God. And what I'm saying is, if Jesus understood that, why would we not? If Jesus needed it. So Pastor, finish your story. So it hit me. My wife, this is a supernatural thing. To you, it may just be a common thing. My daughter's married, so her bedroom's empty. My wife says, let's take this empty bedroom. The house is getting emptier and emptier and emptier. Now we have like two empty bedrooms. Everybody's there, and all the kids are leaving. And my wife took this, one of them. She says, I'm turning it into your office. And I said, no, I'm fine with the desk. She said, no. I said, no. She went, she brought paint, painted the room herself one day without me. We moved the desk, put it in. She built my home office, and I'm there. I had not used it. And in one moment, I'm sitting down in the living room by myself. And God said, this is what I felt in the spirit. God told me, your soul is attacking you with your mind, and your body is aching. Fill yourself with the spirit. For it is stronger than your soul and stronger than your body. And I said, God, but I'm praying every day. I read, I do devotionals. God said, I heard him when he said, come and meet me. I ran up the stairs. I went into the room and I locked myself in for 6 hours. Now, I'm not saying you have to lock yourself in there for 6 hours. It could happen in a minute. But it's like Jacob with the angel in the Bible. I held on to his thigh and I said, until you don't bless me, I'm not going. Fight for it. Rion's here. Rion, you're a professional trainer. If a person wants to really, really get fit, grow muscles, be involved, how often should a person exercise in a week if they're serious, dead serious, and they want quick results? What would you say? Over half of the week they need to be involved. Four days a week, they should say, I'm going to dedicate myself to this. And here's the thing. We will do it for our physical bodies. When you break, we find ourselves in the need to go to psychologists. And that's not a bad thing. Some of us, including myself, sometimes it's a good thing if it's a godly-centered thing. Don't criticize people who do that. But what I'm saying, you go and you feed it. And I'm saying you have to do the same thing. If you took 4 days a week, how long in that day should they, if they did Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, how often would you recommend that they, from warm up to get go to drinking their shake or whatever, how much time do you think they should dedicate faithfully in that day? What would you say? 45 minutes. I challenge anybody here, not because I'm a religious pastor. I'm challenging you because a physical professional just said, give 45 minutes a day, faithfully, 4 times a week, where you lock yourself in your room and nobody's there. Tell everybody, I'm sorry, I need to stop in the name of love. I need to be alone with God. I need to. Pastor, but that's just selfish. I can't do that. I got little kids. Stop. In the name of love. Now I got to let you go and I got to send you home. But I want to give you a vivid example of this before you go. in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, and I can give you a whole bunch of examples, Gideon, Moses, but God gave me this one for you, and I'll let you go. John the Baptist went through this, and then he had a moment of unity with God, because I want to show you this every week. I want to show you how he stopped. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, before you read there, I want you to understand that John the Baptist is he's a wild man, and he's out there preaching, and he's saying, generation of vipers, and crowds are coming, and people are being baptized, and there's line. It's like us. We have baptism at the end of the month. This last Sunday of this month, we have baptism, and Sarah walks into my office yesterday, and she's like, hey, here's February calendar, which, by the way, is printed out. Grab it on your way out. She says, here's February calendar. She says, we got to put a baptism in February. I said, we baptized? It was like, 40 people in December, and we have baptism in January. He says, Pastor, it's full, and we already have people for February. And it's amazing to see what God's doing. Souls being saved, lives being transformed. But now I want you to release all that. We're not even close to what John the Baptist was doing. There were lines of people in a revival being baptized. This guy's preaching the word. He's on fire. I'm not even near John the Baptist. And then, verse 13, Jesus came to Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him. Jesus says, John, baptize me. And John says, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? John is thinking in his mind. He said, no, you're crazy. He's got that rope and that rope and that rope and that rope and that rope. Jesus shows up and says, I want you to picture this, baptize me. Jesus, God, gives you instructions, and you're telling God, well, wait a minute. Come on, man. Me? Come on. I got another plan. And God's like, no, you baptize me. No, but I know, but it doesn't make any sense because I'm a nobody. Yo, you baptize me. Pastor, what are you trying to illustrate? He was so caught up with all the ropes around him and the lack of intimacy with God that I think he wasn't listening to God's voice. You may say, no, Pastor, he was being humble. Right, but be careful, because sometimes you're so humble, you're not letting God do what he wants to do through you. You're confusing one thing with the other. And I'm trying to get you to wake up. You know why I'm trying to get you to do unity with the Holy Spirit? Here's why. Because the demons that you fight and the level you're at, I don't want to pastor a church with a Sunday school God. I don't want to pastor a church that people say, yeah, I do my devotional for 5 minutes in the morning. No, great. That's a great start. I applaud you. I'm not criticizing you. But I want you to know there's more. I want you to know that God has a bigger plan for you. I want you to stop debating God on what he wants. I want you to let it happen. Pastor, how do I get there? Maybe you've been a Christian all your life. Maybe you've been a believer all your life, and you've been in church all your life, and you know God, and you're sitting in this room looking at me right now. Maybe you're an iChurch or a minister or a pastor. You say, Pastor, I know God. I know you do, but I'm saying, do you really know everything there is about him? Don't you think there's something greater? Would you stop debating what he's asking you? Jesus replied to him, what I'm telling you, let it be. Jesus replied, calm down. Be still. Stop. Stop your busy life for a second. God is saying right now, stop your busy life and come and meet me. Be still and know that I am God. I could take care of everything you're worried about. Jesus replied, let it be. So now it is proper. Proper means, the word, original word is prepo. And prepo means tower. What? Let it be. So now this tower for us. Look what he says to John. There's hundreds of people looking, and Jesus is standing in front of John. And he says, for us to be united. Jesus is saying, let you and me be one. I know it doesn't make sense to you right now, but just obey what I'm saying. And if you obey me, we will fulfill all righteousness. And the Bible says, then John consented. He became one. John let it go. John let go of his precepts and concepts. Well, why does it have to do this way? Let go of your precepts and concepts. Let it go and be one with God. the Bible says as soon as Jesus was baptized, when they came in agreement, when unity in the Spirit occurred, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending. When you come in agreement with the Holy Spirit, God descends upon your family like a dove, a lighting on him. You'll have light in the midst of darkness, and the voice from heaven, and you hear God. When you become one with the Spirit, you're going to hear God, how to be a better wife, how to be a better husband, you're going to be able to overcome. You're going to be the minister God called you, and God is going to say, this is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Here, I'll make three statements and I'll let you go. Number one, I don't know who this is for. Pay attention. With all you do, you need to stop more often and fuel up with God. God, you wanted a message from God. He's telling you, my daughter, my son, stop and run to me and make me first again. Stop. Even if it makes no sense, stop. Number two, somebody else in this room, you need to stop something in your life that is leading you astray. There's one rope. I know this is not popular, and very few preachers will preach this morning because it sounds like I'm asking you to. But there are some ropes you got. Listen, I want to say let it go. I'm going to give you another illustration so you don't criticize me later. I can't do this anymore. I'm leaving it up to you. I did everything I could, and leave it in God's hands. I don't know which relationship you need to let go, but be careful because it's pulling you astray from what really is important, which is being with God. Number three, and this one was really heavy on my heart this morning, really, really heavy. You need to stop. Don't rush being with God. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We are living in evil times, ladies and gentlemen. We are living in difficult moments. I have a dream. I have a dream. A dream where my children will gather together, all four of them, in all colors and all races. And by faith, I have a dream. I have a dream of somebody that with faith, Mississippi, you could walk in and evil will not prevail. But someday, there will be men and women of all races and all colors united, worshiping an all-powerful God. I have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream. Right there where you are, a Baptist preacher stood and did a way better version of what I tried to imitate. But he had a dream that by faith and only with God, what was impossible would be possible. People would gather in a room. I wish today I could have Martin Luther King Jr. walk into this room and stand there and see that the dream is a reality in iChurch every single Sunday. All races and all colors together, worshiping God and breaking barriers by faith. I have a dream. I wish somebody would shout out, I have a dream. Now, I don't know what your dream is, but I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads and know that the only thing holding you back from your dream this morning is the lack of faith, and your faith is hurt because of your intimacy with God. I'm not saying go do a devotional. I'm saying that this month I'm going to teach you how to have unity with God. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, there was a man in the room with Martin Luther King when he stood right before he spoke. And the person says that he went to his knees and he said, God, give me the words. And what I'm saying is that the only reason that message is still resonating today isn't because he was a great man, even though I believe he was, but because that great man became a great man because he had a great God. And what I'm telling you is to stop for a second. And with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I'm going to pray over you and dismiss you this morning. But I want you to stop. And anybody in this room right now who has a dream to be a better husband, a better wife,
if you need to heal where it hurts from the past, if there are relationships you need to let go of, I want to invite you to stop for a second. Just stop. And focus on God this morning with me. Do like John the Baptist. Don't fight it. And just come in agreement with me. And let us see the righteousness of God. God's about to use you in a powerful way. That's why you're in iChurch this morning. This organization exists because God placed it in your path for you to have fullness with the Holy Spirit and break all bondage that's holding you back. And this morning, it be that you're watching online or you're in the extra seats that we had to lay out because we ran out. Listen up, my friend. You're not a mistake and you're not a coincidence. You're here because God wanted you to hear this message, and God wants to empower you to be the best husband, the best wife, the best mom, the best dad you could ever be. And if you want that, let me pray for you right now. Find that unity. If by any chance you have your wife next to you or your husband next to you, you have a best friend next to you, maybe a sister or a brother, and it's somebody that came with you, only if they came with you and you have that chance right now, just reach out to them, hold their hand, or put your arm around them for a second, and together let's come in agreement for the power of God to come upon you right now and the Holy Spirit empower you. Oh God, mighty God, I come before you right now and I present everybody watching online in this room. I pray, God, that you allow us to be better husbands, better wives, that you allow us to be better children, better students, better business owners, God. Only you could do it, but it's by your power. We have all these stuff, all these ropes tying to us, but today we stop for a second and we're in your house. We stop for service. We're stopping. First step is stop. We need to stop and not be so busy. I need to stop and not be so busy because I believe that you have something great in 2024 for me, God. I believe you have something great about to happen, and I want to stop long enough to hear your voice. I want to stop long enough to feel the flow of your spirit. I want to stop long enough to let my dream be your dream, God, to make sure that everything I want to achieve is what you want of me, God, and I could only know what you have through the Spirit. And I pray that today my brothers and sisters out there receive that anointing from the Holy Spirit and they run to you, God, knowing that what seems impossible will become possible through the power of a mighty God. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the Holy Spirit, I declare it and I believe it. Amen. 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 You believe God for something great in your life, church? If you do, believe it. Praise God. Give them a round of applause. I'll bless you. I'll see you next Sunday with the second step, united in the Holy Spirit.